Morning, Harvest Church. Let's stand to our feet today. Are you ready to worship? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are God who's gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So we thank you today for your tender mercies, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to help us exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus.
And generations falling down in worship, singing the song of ages to the land. All have gone before us, Lord, who will be near, sing the song of ages to the land. Your name. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Angels rise, oh,
He alone is worthy. You are worthy of it all. I can't hold back your praise. I can't hold back your praise. So let praise arise, forever lift him high. He is worthy of it all. Sing that again. The God of breakthroughs on my side. The God of breakthroughs on my side. So let praise arise. Never lift him high. He is worthy of it all.
Jesus. You are worthy to receive all glory, all honor, and praise. And you are the God of breakthrough. And so we declare and decree today that you're the God of breakthrough over the people of Harvest Church. You're the God of breakthrough over Norfolk, Nebraska, and Northeast Nebraska, the state of Nebraska. You are the God of breakthrough over the United States of America. And we give you glory and honor and praise this day. And everyone said he's the God of breakthrough. Amen. You may be seated.
Jesus like that makes everything better, doesn't it? First of all, we want to thank you to the Bible study groups, those that attended, those that led, those that provided the homes where we met. I think we've kind of gone over and evaluated it. And one thing is, I think everybody liked that it was 6 weeks and didn't go on and on and on. I know the book was heavy, but you know what? It was really sound doctrine. Amen. And we need, Amen. If we're going to be strong in the days ahead, we got to have sound doctrine. So I thank you for participating in that. We are going to give you a week off. No Wednesday night service this week. Okay, if there's anybody not here that I'm not thinking of, let them know. But in 2 weeks, the next 2 weeks, two Wednesdays after that, we're going to have prayer on Wednesday night. So no Wednesday night service this week, but April 24th and May 1st on Wednesday nights will be prayer. I think that's all the announcements I have. So let me get all my stuff organized here. Mike and I have not been colluding on. But I have been stuck on, I'll get stuck on words and I just start studying them out. And you know, I've been over and over said, God is the God of order. If you understand God at all, the sun always comes up at this, you know, in the east. It always sets, all nature and earth is set in order because God's a God of order, not of confusion. And so I want to give you, and then I started, we did not cover in the Bible studies, we did not cover the chapters on finances, on money, but I would encourage you to read those if you have the book. But it talks about stewardship, and stewardship and order go so hand in hand. And so here comes Mike last week, and he starts talking about all these things. So I want to give you, I'm going to review, you don't have to today. Okay. One thing it said was man was given dominion on the earth. Dominion is rule or power to rule, sovereign authority, stewardship of the earth. Dominion requires responsible stewardship. A steward is the rule or administration of a house responsible for keeping law and order in the house. And there's scriptures, if you had this from last week, there's scriptures concerning all of this. And then he talked about dominion requires character and order. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion or disorder, but of peace." And then verse 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And that particular scripture is speaking specifically to church services, but it would apply to all of our lives because that's the way God does things and likes things done. Colossians 2:5 says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit." This is Paul speaking to the church. And he says, "Rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Sometimes people get so concerned that if a service is in order, that the Spirit of God can't move. When in fact, I believe just the opposite is true. If there's no order, then the Holy Spirit, who's a gentleman, isn't going to move. We have to have a level of order. That doesn't mean legalism. You know, you can get off wild and crazy on one side. You can get off legalist on the other side. And neither one are God. God's always right on target. And that means in order. Because if things are in order, then everyone's together in unity. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And if all of our attention is on works of the flesh and people out of order, then it takes attention away from God. And that's why we need to establish order. And the same thing applies with our finances. Man has been given dominion on the earth, and that includes finances. Dominion requires responsible stewardship, which includes being responsible for keeping order in our lives. Sometimes we wonder why our finances, when we first moved here years ago, the finances of the church were really out of order. That's why, because there was no order. And our finances were really in bad shape because we had some things out of order. And so in all things that we do, whether it's our personal life, it talked about this in your chapter this week of health and healing. It's not just all God's magic wand. There are things that we are required to be responsible for and do. And the same thing applies with finances. There are things that we need to be responsible and have in order. But I can assure you, and you've got to get this in through your head and to your heart, God desires that we prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. And I realize the economy and all kinds of things are going on. But God's going to make a way for us. Amen. God makes a way, always makes a way for his people. But part of that is, if you want to prosper and be in health, your soul has to prosper. And your soul prospers by understanding and receiving the word of God and following his order. So we'll talk more about that in the future. But for right now, ushers, you may go ahead and receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
Thinking about this movie, which I presume all of you have seen this movie, but this is my favorite clip of this movie.
Hey, Cora, how'd you like your snowball sandwich? Maybe you like Lord, are you going to cry now? Come on, cry, baby. Cry for me. Come on, cry.
Deep in the recesses of my brain, a tiny red-hot little flame began to grow. Something had happened. A fuse blew, and I had gone out of my skull. I became conscious that a steady torrent of obscenities and swearing of all kinds was pouring out of me as I screamed.
Ralphie! Come on. We're going home. Come on.
See, the body of Christ in this hour needs to become more like Ralphie. When I was young and in junior high, I was beat up. And I wasn't always the strong, strapping young man that I am now. I was a fat little pimply boy. And his name was Dan Grubbs. What a name. That just tells you what he was like. And I can remember the exact place on the playground. He just beat me up. And I didn't have anybody there to help me back then. Where was Nate when I needed him? Look in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, please. See, when you and I begin to understand who we are and the authority that we possess over the devil, amen, then we'll take our stand. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now look at Luke chapter 10. This is our foundational text on authority, and there's so much in the Word of God. In Luke chapter 10, and look at verse 17, it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, since she did the review, we won't have to do that. But I'm going to read to you from E.W. Kenyon, who passed away around World War II, that in that era, just a great man of God and a very prolific author. And I want to open up with this. He opens up with each chapter, and this is what he had to say. He says, to know that Satan is defeated by our substitute. Who is our substitute? Jesus. And that his defeat is eternal makes our redemption a blessed reality. To know that that defeat was administered to him by our substitute, set to our credit, so that in the records of the Supreme Court of the universe, we are the masters of Satan. And that Satan recognizes that in the name of Jesus, we are his rulers. And then he goes on to say this. When the heart knows this, as the body knows heat and cold, then faith is unnecessary. It is simply a fact that we have come to know, and we act upon that knowledge as we act upon the fact of the ground being able to sustain our weight. In other words, you should know who you are in Christ to the point you don't have to think about it. It's just a given fact. He says, we know that God himself put Satan, all his ability, beneath what? Our feet. And that we are looked upon by the Father and by Satan as a master of the dominion of darkness. We are taking Jesus' place. We carry out in our daily walk the things Jesus would have done could he have been in our place. He came to destroy the works of the adversary. We are completing the work that he began. Then arise and take your place. Act the part of a son. Assume your responsibilities. Become a Ralphie. No, that wasn't in here. Dare the impossible. His name can't fail you. You are a victor. He made you one. Get used to it so you can play the part. Make your confession harmonize with the facts. You are what he says you are in Christ. Remember, his word is truth or reality. Launch out boldly on the word. I like that. See? So that's what we started today, because I want you to see who you are. Don't let the devil bully you. Don't let him push you around. One of the things that he is so successful with most Christians, is he invades their mind and plants unhealthy thoughts. I had some walking from that building to this building today. Oh, but you're the pastor. Since when aren't pastors human, aren't they? I'm just like you. And I had to realize that. And so what I did, I immediately said, I cast down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And it's going to come to the point where he's going to have to quit doing it, because he knows it isn't going to work. The worst time for me, and I'm going to tell you this, with thoughts, is Monday morning. Why? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons, because after Sunday you're tired, you need to be refreshed, you need to get prayed up again. But I get these thoughts that bombard me, fiery darts. And the only one that can do that is you. You have to take authority over that wrong thinking. You need to bind and you need to loose. You need to declare and you need to decree. This isn't the way it's going to be. I'm not going to think like that. Amen? Now, we're going to talk about stewardship today. Dominion requires responsible stewardship. Say that. Dominion requires responsible stewardship. Stewardship defined is simply this. It's the rule or administration of a house. Responsible for keeping law and order in the house. Whether you realize it or not, I'm the sheriff. He's the marshal. All I am is someone that's been delegated authority and stewardship over Harvest Church. Amen. And, you know, that's why, you know, sometimes I can be kind of anal and fussy. But I know that I'm a steward of what God has given us here. This property, we're stewards of this property. and I like it looking nice. Amen. We're all stewards, and we've all been given the responsibility to keep law and order. Mom and Dad, you're the one responsible for keeping law and order in your house. Amen. The steward was accountable only to the owner, who alone made the final decisions. Now, she's probably the best steward financially. That doesn't bother me. I mean, we all have different gifts. She's better at it because I screwed up so much when we were young and first married. I made life hell. And so now she runs the money. Well, I'm not like I was back then. I think I've grown up and I realize, you know, you can't do this. But I don't let her, I let her do whatever she wants with the money. I don't even know what we got. But I know we got some. Why? Because she's a good steward of the money. The thing is, when you give financially every Sunday, I say, what so-and-so give? I don't ever do that. I've never done that. I just don't do that. I'll just say, what was the offering? That's all I'll say. I don't say, what Micah give? What he put in this week? I just don't do that. I want things to stay clean and right. But she is the steward of finances at home, and she's the steward of the finances of church. And I'll just tell you that you should be blessed. You should be pleased to know that you've got people, leadership, that are good stewards of finances. You know, I think right now we need a new couch. And a new chair. My recliner's still pretty good. It's going to wear out pretty soon. But I'll go to her and I'll say, you know, we need this. And she'll just look at me. And I'll just walk away. A few years ago, I was given, this is an example of stewardship, and I guess this helped me understand the subject. I was given the stewardship of a property of a warehouse that took me 3 months to empty, that was full of treasure. And full of antiques, and I can't even begin to tell you. And this individual gave me the stewardship of that. He was in the nursing home, and I'd find something valuable, and I'd run down the nursing home and say, look what I found. And he'd say, blankety blank blank, I didn't know where that was. And I had to sort, and I had to clean, and I had to do this, and I had to do that. And, you know, was I blessed? Yes, we were blessed. But I had a responsibility. Then a couple years later, I had the responsibility of a large home in Norfolk and had to start at the top. And it took me, no kidding, 8 months to sort and to clean and to find buyers and to plan a sale. And all, you know, he gave me the authority to make decisions. That's what a steward is. And we're all stewards. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a steward. We need to realize, number one, it all belongs to who? God. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Psalm 50 verse 10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And you think about that. He knows all the birds. In fact, he knows and recognizes when a sparrow falls to the ground. Doesn't that blow your mind? Amen. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is a good example of a sovereign God. And this is really a praise or a psalm of praise to God. This is where, do you remember when King David was getting everything ready to build the temple? And the people came, and what kind of giving did they have? Abundant giving. Everybody just wanted to give. And as a result, it moved David's heart. And this is what he said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, in verse 10, it says, "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty.'" Now listen, "For all that is in heaven and in earth is" what? "Yours." See, he had revelation of that. "Yours is the kingdom, O God, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all, and in your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." Now we're going to stop there, and you can mark that because we're going to come back to that. So that shows and reveals to us David knew that it all belonged to God. Do you know that it all belongs to God? You better. Because if you have a revelation that it's all his to begin with, and he has made you and I stewards. Amen. Say, "I'm a steward." Now, Psalm 115, verse 16. Since the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of man. So what do we have? What have we received from God? The earth. Psalm 8, verse 6, it says, "You have made him," or made man, "to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea." So who has responsibility? We do. Now go back to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 13. It says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name, but who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this?" This, you got to remember, they had to restrain the people from giving. I've never had to do that here. Don't give anymore. Don't give anymore. I've never had to do that. David did. He says, "For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own." This passage of Scripture establishes the fact that everything belongs to God and man is just a steward. Our administrator over all of God's resources. Verse 14 literally reads, now let me read it to you. "Everything that exists comes from you, and we administrate it from your hand." Everything comes from you, and we just administrate it from your hand. Do you see the responsibility that you and I have as stewards? It's a great responsibility. Now, what are you and I stewards of? Look at Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. And there's so much on this subject, and we're just kind of giving some of the basic things here. Romans chapter 12. You need to reflect on the fact, what are you a steward of? What are you a steward of? In Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your" what? "A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. God, it's nice to hear paper with this day of technology and phones. It's nice to hear the Bible. Nothing wrong with phones. Don't leave here offended or butthurt. Verse 19. Or do you not know that your what? Body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from who? God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, after reading those scriptures, test time. What are you a steward of? Just reading those two scriptures. Huh? Yourself, specifically. Tell me what you are a steward of. Your body. I'm pausing for dramatic effect. What are you and I stewards of? What are we supposed to take care of? I wish I had a body like you. I know, it's muscle. Six pack. I used to have a six pack a few weeks ago. Six pack. Six pack of donuts. Well, whatever. I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed. And I can tell when I've been eating too much sugar because it starts to get a little paunchy. So now I got to back off a little bit. But you and I need to take care of our body. And I can tell you this, and to be truthful with you, as years when I started as a young pastor, I didn't handle stress very well. How many of you ever had to deal with stress? Let me see your hands. You know, there's things you can do to relieve yourself of stress. Exercise is one of them. Walking. Amen. I used to jog. I go down the road now and see all these guys jogging, you know, and I think, oh, well, I used to do that. I don't feel bad about it at all. I just munch on my donny and drink my coffee. Good riddance. There used to be this guy, I'm not going to say his name, and you're going to know, I bet you'll. And I go, because they start at the Y, and he was rather a portly fellow. And he was very heavy, and he wore a headband, and he'd jog. Some of you, if you ever were on, you know, Benjamin, or you could see him, and he just all the time jog, and I think, quit. It's not doing any good. Stop. You're ruining your feet, your joints, and your muscles. I don't see him anymore. I don't know. Maybe he's gone on to be with Jesus. I don't know, from all that jogging. But you and I need to take, you've got to eat right. Do the best that you can. Right? You've got to get exercise. But there was also one thing I read here that you got to take care of. We already said body. Your mind. We just kind of alluded to that earlier about how I had to realize I had squirrely thoughts. You've got to be a good steward of your thoughts. If you find yourself thinking, oh, my wife hates me. My dog hates me. My dog won't even come to me anymore when I call. You know, you can get, Satan will get in there and you'll start having a pity party and feeling sorry for yourself. You've got to, and I've got to get control over my thought life, your thought life. What else do we need to be good stewards of? 1 Peter 4:10, you don't need to turn there. He says this, as each one has received a gift, say gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Everyone in here has gifts. And if I know you well enough, I can, you know, tell you what your gifts are, what you're good at. What's Abraham good at? Worship. Is that a gift? Yes. What's Pastor Brad good at? Well, let's stay on the worship. What's he good at? Drum. What else is he good at? Kids. I'm in the natural. What's he good at? Construction. Thank you. So are there... Did we get a smart aleck in the crowd? Although I will say this, Bradley, every time I text or call you, you call and text right back. My kids say, they don't have to text you right back. It doesn't have to be like that. Well, Pastor Brad does. But he's got gifts, doesn't he? Do you have gifts? What's Nate's gift? What's something he does that's good? He's prophetic. He looks, what? Talking. And we just talked about that the other night. Amen. But we need to be good stewards. You know, I've been called as a pastor, as a shepherd, as a leader through the years. Some days I do well, some days I don't. You just got to do the best you can and keep growing. Develop that gift. Be a good steward of that gift. What else do you need to be good at? In Titus 1:7, it says, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. So if you have a ministry, you have a responsibility to steward that ministry. Amen? Here's another one. Let's bring it home now. Say finances. You and I have an obligation, responsibility. God expects us to be good stewards of our finances. Malachi, what's that famous scripture Malachi say? Bring some. Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse. Okay, I'll have you turn here. Look at Proverbs 3. So you and I need to be stewards of our finances. This one really hits home in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. We need to be stewards of our spirit, soul, and body, our gifts, our ministry, and now our finances. And it says in verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your what? Possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So we have, and this is something, I don't know if you realize this, I saw this years ago. You know, if we'll honor God with our tithes and our offerings and our blessings, it says, you're what? What will be? Look at verse 10. It says, you're what? Your barn? Your what? Plural. Your barns. God doesn't just want to have just one barn. Meditate on that. He wants us to have barns, plural. But if you are a good steward of your finances and he gives you a barn, singular, and you're good about taking care of it, guess what? You'll have another barn. What, dear? You've said it three times. Say it to the people. Storehouse. You want to elaborate anything there? Okay. Sometimes I can ignore. Sometimes, Robert, it just doesn't pay. So we need to be good stewards of our finances. Here's one. You and I need to be a good steward. We just had a marriage seminar. You and I need to be good stewards of our relationships. Not just our marriage, but relationships in general. If you want friends, you need to be a friend. Amen. And the thing is, you and I need to be good stewards of our family. Take care of the kids God gave you. Amen. You know, some of you got a lot of kids. A lot of responsibility, but you've got to make sure that you spend time with those kids. Amen? Amen. One more. What else can you be a good steward of? Look at Proverbs 24. Look here in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 24. So what do you need to be a good steward of? Tell me. Your body? Your mind? Gifts? Finances? Your ministry? Relationships. Now we're going one more. Property. Oh, it got real quiet. Property. Look at this. In Proverbs 24 in verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little what? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. So what's that saying to you and I? What do you think? What should we take care of? How many got a house? Paint it. If it needs painting. You know, you and I can keep our property in good shape. That's being a good steward. It's that simple. Would you agree with that? Oh, boy, we're going to run out of time here, dear Lord. Okay, look at Genesis 39, and then we'll stop with that, and then we'll carry on next week. I wanted to get to character and order, but we'll do that next week. She touched on order. We're going to touch on godly character and order. But let's look at this, because this is, to me, this is one of the best examples. Genesis 39. Of a steward, and his name was Joseph. Genesis 39:1, it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now listen, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a what? Successful or prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now look at verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So what was Joseph? A good steward. Look at this. It said, verse 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and what? This is important. Served him, then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Think about that. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Wow. You see this? I want you to see here, he was a steward, and he had a servant's heart. Serve here in the Hebrew means to wait upon. To serve is the sign of the servant of the Lord. I like this. I found this in one of my books. An attendant who is always standing by ready to serve. He is to be an attendant in God's service station on the road of lives. So what's that mean? Joseph, what was he? Standing by, ready to do whatever he was called to do. Amen? That was Joseph. And then it says he found favor in his sight. Wow. So if you're a good steward and I'm a good steward, what are we going to experience? We're going to experience favor that surrounds us as with a shield. As long as you and I are responsible stewards with the authority delegated to us by God. Now listen, we can expect him to be with us and pour out his favor upon us. So it pays to be a good steward. It pays to be a good steward of everything God has given us. Now, I want you to leave today, and I want you to think this week, reflect on this message today. What's God given you? What's God given you? And then I want to ask yourself, are you a good steward of what God's given you? What are some of the things now you're a good steward? What should you be steward over? Tell them. Your body, mind, finances, family, gifts, ministry. Amen. Amen. I was out here yesterday mowing the yard. Why? Because I'm a good steward. That I don't mow it. We got guys set up to mow, but our schedule hasn't been put together. But you notice what a fine job I did? He came, you're a good steward. Heckert came and he fertilized and what else? He aerated and did everything you need to do. Left little turds all over. But see, we're being a good steward of what God's given us. God's called you to be a good steward of young men and women. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, are you a good steward? One more. 1 Corinthians 4, you don't need to turn there. Let me read it to you. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. You're looking at a faithful man. You got a faithful woman there. And you know what? I got faithful people sitting before me. And a faithful man and woman will abound with the blessings of God. Let's stand to our feet today.